The only sure thing in life these days in Washington is talk of deficits and taxes. Washington publicly addressed these two contentious issues today, but did not take any concrete steps on either subject. First, those soon-to-expire Bush-era tax cuts. President Obama and Republican congressional leaders met at the White House to discuss their differences about extending the cuts. Here's President Obama.
The American people did not vote for gridlock. They didn't vote for unyielding partisanship. They're demanding cooperation, and they're demanding progress. And they'll hold all of us, and I mean all of us, accountable for it.
Republicans want the cuts that were enacted into law in 2001 and 2003 extended for all Americans. The president opposes a permanent extension for taxpayers earning more than $200,000 as individuals and $250,000 as couples. The administration says it will meet with a small group of lawmakers to find a compromise. Staying on taxes for a moment, state governments brought in more tax revenues this summer as the economy slowly recovered and grew. That's welcome news for many states like New York, facing severe budget shortfalls. The Rockefeller Institute at the State University of New York calculated that tax revenues increased by more than 2.5% compared to the same time period a year ago. But the increase may not be enough to prevent state governments from having to make severe budget cuts, including laying off state workers. Here in New York, the state reported the biggest increase in tax collections, up 4.5% from a year ago. As to cutting the debt, this time the federal debt, a little irony this afternoon. The commission looking into ways to cut America's debt and stop pushing our financial problems into the future will delay making its recommendations about just how to do that for a few days anyway. The bipartisan debt commission appointed by the president had planned to vote tomorrow on what policies to recommend, but says it will now hold that vote on Friday. The menu of distasteful spending cuts and unattractive revenue raisers has already been widely circulated, so it's not clear which measures could get enough votes to be included in the panel's recommendations. We'll talk about this now with Daniel Shaviro, professor of tax law and budget policies at New York University's Law School. Welcome to the Financial 411, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Whether or not this commission actually approves the committee's plan to reduce the nation's debt, do you think the ideas offered could at least be used by Congress in some way, shape, or form?
Well, it depends on what you mean could be used. They certainly could be in the sense that the commission's plans do offer one along a spectrum of possible approaches, but as a political matter, I just really don't see anything happening anytime in the foreseeable near-term future.
Oh, that's depressing. If everyone agrees we need to reduce the debt, why can't we get any sort of concessions from both sides, even if they want to cherry-pick from this upcoming report?
Well, there's kind of no reason to give up something that you care about unless you get back something that, you know, the other guys care about. And I'm not sure the Republicans in particular are really ready to deal right now. I think the overall problem is has elements of what I call a chicken game. I don't know if you, listeners have seen like Rebel Without a Cause when James Dean and the other guy, one of them has to jump out of a car, they'll both go over the cliff. That's kind of what we're doing. But suppose the Democrats, and I'm thinking, well, I kind of want to have more tax increases than spending cuts, or if I'm a Republican, I'm thinking the reverse. But in either case, I'm going to say, if I give up on my half first, they're just going to take that and put it in their pocket and move the overall policy further their way. So neither side wants to be the first to move. And the same is true of voters. All those voters out there say it's terrible about the debt and what we're doing for our children. They don't want to be the ones to give up their own benefits. They know there could be a plan that someone else gets hit instead, and that's the plan they like.
What are the consequences if concrete steps are not taken, the economy goes off that proverbial cliff?
Well, in the short term, of course, we have a very different problem, the problem of massive unemployment and an economic slowdown that won't go away. In the longer term, what would happen is there's either the soft landing option or the hard landing option, which you don't want to hear about even if you're not flying today. The soft landing is interest rates start going up and the U.S. government is borrowing a ton of money at high interest rates, and that really lowers our standard of living and our flexibility to do anything. And a lot of the money, of course, will go to people abroad. The hard landing is that there's basically a disastrous financial meltdown that I think would make 2008 look mild. I personally think there's a good chance we're headed there. It's really up to the political system whether we get there or not, but I don't think it's happening in the next couple of years. It's a little further down the road.
And very briefly, the president announced pay freezes for federal employees yesterday. Is that an indication of possible concessions by at least his side to reduce the debt?
Well, he may start. He may make one concession and then another, because that seems to be his negotiating style. But I seriously doubt he's going to get anything whatsoever back. Obviously, we'll know soon enough.
Daniel Shaviro is a professor at NYU's law school. It was Europe's debt problems that sent stock markets down for a second consecutive day. The Dow fell 46 points to close at 11,006. This is WNYC.